Welcome to Branching Out, presented by Atticus Insider Intel. I'm your host, Jane Stanley. Each episode, we explore a topic related to greenhouse and nursery production, everything from IPM to automation to advocacy. Together, we dig into the most recent research and figure out how to apply it in a practical way to benefit your organization today. Let's get started. Welcome to Branching Out, presented by Atticus. I'm your host, Jane Stanley. Usually when you tune in, you'll hear me talking with researchers, growers, and other greenhouse and nursery professionals about their work and how to apply what they've learned to your operation. But since this is our first episode, and I'm a firm believer that you should never ask someone else to do something you aren't willing to do yourself, we're going to flip things around, and today I'll be the one answering the questions. To help me out, I'm joined by Maggie Goble, who's a member of our Atticus Communications team and an all-around media powerhouse. So welcome to the show, Maggie.
Thank you for having me, Jane. I'm very excited to chat with you today and learn all about greenhouse and nursery. To start off, for all of our new friends, can you explain what greenhouse and nursery encompasses?
Sure. So when we talk about greenhouse and nursery, what we're really talking about is sort of commercial scale production of horticultural crops. So a horticultural crop is generally just a plant that's useful to humans. In the greenhouse and nursery space, we're primarily concerned with ornamental crops, right? So things like flowers, shrubs, trees, but we also cover herbs, vegetable transplants, some berries and small fruits, fruit trees, and even Christmas trees. Additionally, there's more and more attention being paid to controlled environment agriculture. And what that is we have growers who are taking crops that have traditionally been grown in an ag setting, so things like lettuces and different greens and tomatoes, and moving that production into a greenhouse or other sort of highly controlled environment. That's been a really interesting intersection to watch develop. But when we talk about greenhouse and nursery, it can cover any number of those things.
That's really interesting because when I think of greenhouse and nursery, I think of the homeowner who goes to Lowe's or Home Depot or their, you know, local plant shop down the street, and they pick out things that are, you know, in season and beautiful to decorate their homes with or the colors that they like. So it's interesting to learn that there's a whole, like, backstory.
That's a great point because, right, there is a backstory, right? There is more to it than just what, right, the homeowner sees when they go to buy, right, a pack of pansies at a retailer. There's an entire supply chain that's behind that. And so we deal mostly with the commercial side. So everything that leads up to that point of sale at the retail garden center. So yeah, there is a whole nother world back there.
Now, is there a plant farm where it goes from plant seed to the growth and then it's pruned and taken to a store?
Yeah, but you can think of it almost as, right, an entire manufacturing process, right? So we have people who specialize in the production of seed or like unrooted cuttings or sort of starter plant material that will then go into young plants. So a plant that's rooted and has soil attached to it, but might not be the finished size. And from there, it'll go into a finished grower who will put it into, you know, a six-pack or a one-gallon, a three-gallon, a 10-gallon container, or even into the field where it will be grown for several years and then be balled and burlapped and sent on to the retailer. So yeah, there are a lot of different pieces to the puzzle, and it is very much a manufacturing and farming kind of operation.
So take us back to how you first got into the industry, what led you to where you are today?
Sure. So honestly, it's mostly a happy accident. I don't come from an ag family. I'm not a second, third, fourth generation grower. I certainly didn't expect to end up in horticulture. I mean, I always liked plants and my parents were avid gardeners, but it was mostly just a very sort of thorough process of elimination in college where I tried a lot of different things and eventually found environmental science. So I really enjoyed biology and ecology and decided that I wanted to do a master's in horticulture in grad school. And I had kind of a unique opportunity in grad school to work with a lab where my advisor had a dual appointment in both horticulture and ecology. So that was a really nice fit coming from an environmental science program, wanting to study horticulture to kind of be able to touch on both of those. So that was a little bit of dumb luck for me, From there, like most of my millennial cohort, I graduated into a recession. So difficult to find the ideal job right away. I ended up working at a garden center and landscape design firm, and I was working as a buyer, right? So sourcing plant material. And there was one vendor who really stood out just for it, their beautiful plants, how well they maintained their product throughout the course of the year. And at one point, they had an opening for an IPM manager, and I jumped at it. And I loved it so much, I stuck around for over 10 years and got to do sort of everything that you do in production. So from plant health into propagation and growing, production management, and eventually right being part of the leadership team there and running the container nursery. From there, I moved into the chemical manufacturing side, and that's sort of how I got involved with Atticus. So now I get to work not only with our internal team here at Atticus, but I also get to work with the research community and growers all around the country. So a lot of what I do as a technical manager is developing resources for both our distribution partners as well as for the end users, the growers. So that can look like trainings and different kinds of education sessions. We do a lot of writing different technical materials, like we have a series we call Insider Intels that are 1 to 2 page technical documents on relevant topics. And really, no 2 days are exactly the same. I could be traveling and speaking to a group in one location and working with, you know, researchers or our internal development team or a great communications team the next day. So the great thing is that I'm still spending my time thinking about production and working with growers, which is what I really love.
Well, it sounds like you got a very well-rounded view of the industry and you were able to try a lot of different things. We're very glad to have you at Atticus. For those who don't know, Atticus is a demand-driven manufacturer of what we call battle-tested chemistries. And we were established in 2014 with a clear purpose to enhance daily life. Part of our business is EcoCore, and under that falls Greenhouse and Nursery. So Jane, from my understanding, you travel a lot to Atticus trade shows such as Mance and Cultivate. What does your time look like while you're on the road?
It's a combination of things. So if it's my kind of choice, I'm getting to spend time in the field with growers, touching plants. That's the most fun. When we're at trade shows, a lot of what we're doing is interacting with our distribution partners, who are the ones who really interface with the customers and the ones selling directly to them. That can be anything from, you know, providing trainings, answering questions, talking about the products in our portfolio and how to use them successfully. Right? How do you put together different products into a rotation that's going to be effective for a grower, and also manage the idea of resistance development within a pest population. So we touch on a lot of different facets, but anytime we're out on the road, the goal is to spend time developing relationships and being with people.
Do you ever run into people you used to work with at trade shows? I bet that's a great time to catch up with connections.
Absolutely. It's a small industry. And so if you stick around long enough, right, you start to see a lot of familiar faces. And you know, the nice thing is that you really develop great relationships with people over the course of years, working together, seeing each other frequently. You get to a big trade show and event, or it really is like hanging out with friends. And, you know, there are a lot worse ways to spend your time.
That's awesome. It definitely seems like greenhouse and nursery, even though it's a very large industry, it's not intimidating. Everyone is super friendly and willing to help out where they can.
Yeah, that's certainly been my experience. And I know, you know, when you're sort of starting out into an industry or starting your career, things can be a little bit intimidating or overwhelming, but it's a very friendly industry. And I think unique to this industry, what I've heard from folks who have worked in different industries, you know, like we have competitors, obviously, you know, people who overlap in what they do and are serving similar customers. But even within that, there's this overwhelming sense of community. And so people really do help each other out, look out for each other. And yeah, the relationships that you make are lifelong friendships.
So for those maybe in grad school or even in college wanting to get into the industry, what advice do you have for them? Is it heavily on networking? Are there other resources, articles, you know, e-newsletters that you subscribe to or would suggest that they look into?
So the first thing I would say to anybody who's considering or interested in the industry is just do it. It's great. You'll love it. We want you here. Please come be a part of it. So as you called out before, Maggie, it's a welcoming place. We need young people in the industry. We need new people, even if you don't come from a plant background, right? We need engineers, people who have marketing skills, accounting skills. You don't have to be a plant person to be in this industry. But if you are, even better, come on in. As far as how do you do that, I think internships are a really great place to start. There are a lot of growers who have an internship program that you can probably get connected to through a university. Beyond that, if you're not a student but looking to get into the industry, local organizations have a Master Gardener or Extension program that you can get connected to. They can be a really great resource. I think if you can find even just sort of one person who knows, they are probably going to be willing to help connect you to other people in the industry for sure.
Do you feel like a lot of people go into college wanting to study it? Or do you think it's something that, you know, similar to you, you start out in environmental science and then you slowly saw the interests come up?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I think, you know, historically, horticulture programs were probably, you know, stronger, particularly in, right, like the land grant university system. And, you know, those programs have kind of, you know, gotten smaller over the years. You've seen a lot of plant science or, you know, environmental science kind of programs taking their place where it's not specifically focused on horticulture. So it can be tricky to find that thing if you're not looking for it, if you don't already know about it. And so I think we kind of have sort of two groups of people, which are there's one, if you come from, you know, that family, that world where you already know about it and you're looking for it. And then there are the other people who stumble onto it, you know, almost by accident or, you know, in a roundabout kind of way. And, you know, the one isn't better than the other. However you get here, we want to have you here.
So with any job, there are definitely some highs and lows. So what is one of your favorite things about working in greenhouse and nursery? And what's something that you find challenging, but especially with the seasonality?
Yeah, so the thing that I love about horticulture is that it's this unique blend of art and science. So if you think about something like plant propagation, the idea that you can take, you know, a cutting that's just one or two nodes of a branch and put it under the right conditions and it'll grow roots and become an entirely new plant, right? Obviously, there are specific hormones at play and, right, predictable cause and effect things that are happening there. But it's also, I think, about as close to magic as you can get. And so, right, the very thing that we all do in this industry and that we participate in is, right, we're growing plants primarily because they're pretty and people want to enjoy them at their homes. And I think that's fulfilling and fun in a way that most people probably don't get to experience in their professional lives. So there's this great quote, actually, from E.O. Wilson, who's a biologist, and it goes something like, "The ideal scientist thinks like a poet and works like a bookkeeper." And I've always loved that because I feel like horticulture kind of captures that same sort of, right, two things at once piece really well, right? You need creativity and you need, right, the practical piece, the pragmatism. And I think that applies not just as sort of an appreciation for art and nature, but problem solving and open-mindedness and curiosity and being willing to try things and experiment. Because, you know, if you think about it, like, nurseries and greenhouses are basically just giant laboratories where we're constantly running experiments to see what happens when you manipulate variable X or variable Y, right? Like, if you prune this group of plants a little bit harder, or if you give these plants a little bit more water, how do they respond? And so for me, I'm someone who's probably always been sort of obnoxiously curious, but I'm also very, very practical. I need to see what happens. I need a sort of cause and effect. And so this industry has really felt like home to me because you get to kind of play and experiment in that way. So I think the flip side, though, is that it can be really challenging, right? It is very much dependent on the weather, the seasonality. It can be really intense for that 90-day period in spring where you've got to have everything ready, looking prime, and push all that inventory out to garden centers, to retailers, and you're really, you know, kind of tied to the weather that's happening in March, April, and May. And if you have a couple of bad rainy weekends, you're probably going to have a bad year. And so there is a lot of stress that can come with that. But I think the payoff is worth it.
Now, I know you know, like plants because you work with them every day, but do you have them in your home? Do you find yourself being plant mom, like the green thumb?
Yeah, so if you've ever heard that the cobbler's children have no shoes, so no, I love plants. I definitely have lots of plants in my home. I have, yes, house plants. I have outdoor plants. I think people will often ask, oh, you must have like this beautiful, highly designed garden. I know lots of people in the industry who do, and I admire them. I have a mishmash of like one of a lot of cool things. So there, I have lots of cool plants, but not necessarily a coherent design to it all.
You're going to have to teach me because I have the worst green thumb ever, and I kill even the most simple of plants to take care of.
You know what? It's no worries. And I tell people, right, you just have to increase your threshold for failure, right? I have killed so many more plants than you ever will. So don't worry about it. One or two house plants, that's just par for the course.
Good. So lastly, what is your hope for this podcast? When listeners finish an episode, what do you want them to leave with?
Yeah, so kind of selfishly, right? I'm hoping that we can create a resource that I would have wanted to have when I was a grower, which is, right, a way to get information about relevant research and how to apply it to my day-to-day job. So how do I take interesting things that we're learning about, you know, different substrates and actually implement them on a commercial scale? Or what insects and diseases should I be looking out for? And I think also timely updates about topics that maybe aren't exclusively production, but that are really front of mind for growers. So things like labor and regulatory concerns. And I also think it's great to hear firsthand from other growers who have tried some of these things. What's worked for them? What lessons did they learn? What would they do differently the next time? So I would love for this to be a platform to highlight research that has practical applications for growers, as well as allowing growers to provide insight about issues and concerns that are impacting their businesses. So I think ultimately that's how we at Atticus can really help deliver on our goal of being relevant, simple, and reliable.
I love that your enthusiasm and passion for the industry very much shines through the work and everything that you've said on this podcast. And we wanted to start this series because there's not a resource like this within the industry. And podcasts are so up and coming, and you can easily listen to them while you're traveling, on the road, or you're working in a garden. It's easily accessible, and you're going to get so much knowledge in just 20 or 30 minutes from Jane. So I'm very excited to be working with you on this project. Thank you so much for answering all of our questions.
Thanks, Maggie.
That's it for today's episode of Branching Out. If you have questions or comments or want to share your thoughts, email me at branchingout@atticusllc.com. For more helpful information, visit the Insider Intel page on the Atticus website and follow us on Instagram @Atticus_EcoCore. I'll see you next time.